You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
It's panic time for a lot of people, especially those who celebrate Christmas. The days are starting to wind down to a precious few here. So if you're in your car, we appreciate it. As you head to the mall, try to snag some items. And certainly, it's not easy to go about your business anymore during COVID. What stores are open, what stores are allowing people in, and all that. I did most of my shopping online. But still, it's a beast to get things done. And if you got kids like I do, you know how difficult it is to just get everything done. But thanks to Amazon Prime, I was able to get through the holidays pretty well. Nice day outside. Snow's starting to melt a little bit, and we'll see if we can have some fun talking sports with you. I'm not in the greatest of conditions right now physically because when you're 52 years old and you have three-year-old twins and a five-year-old nephew staying at the house, my mind still works like I'm 25 years old, not knowing my body. Is 52, and they're not on speaking terms. My mind and my body, they both think differently. You know, my mind wants to do all the things that I did when I was 25 years old. My body's like, wait a minute. My body's thinking more. It's like 70 and doesn't want to do anything.
Don's dead because he was changing a tire and his heart exploded.
Right, or I'm out there shoveling snow and all that stuff. That when that happens, that's the 25 year old mind, Don LaGreca, and the body's like, what are you doing to me? And the way the body gets back at the mind is just crush you with aches and pains. And just saying, to trying to remind the 25-year-old brain, you know, every time you get one of these bright ideas, this is what I'm going to do to you. And that's what happened today, because I was out playing snow with the kids. And the problem with having multiple children is nobody wants to do the same thing. So I've got one that wants to have a snowball fight. I got another one that wants to go in. I got my nephew who wants to take his jacket and his mittens off and run around practically naked. I mean, so I got a lot of things going on. So I thought, why don't I do this? My brother last Christmas got this really nice wagon. I'll throw the kids in the wagon and I'll drag them around the yard. Right? So through the snow, and then we went onto the street. I live on a cul-de-sac, so we walked down the street where there's no traffic or anything. Great idea. All three of them loved it, thought it was fabulous. And I was happy. 25-year-old mind is like, what a great idea. This gets them quiet. They're all happy. They're all on the same page. Gives them something to do. Take in the fresh air. But the 52-year-old body at this particular moment, a couple of hours later, is like, huh, you want to drag around a 100-pound of kid around the neighborhood? Go right ahead and see how your back feels. See how your knees feel. See how your neck feels. So that's kind of what I'm going through today. But you know what? We'll have some fun. Still worth it. But I occasionally get phone calls from people. I'm having twins. What's the advice? Well, just make sure your body and your mind are simpatico, okay? Because mine certainly are not. So many places we can go. That's when you know you're going to have a fun show, because there's a million places we can go. There's so much happening. Obviously, the game last night between the Steelers and Cincinnati. And, like, how does that happen? How does a two-win team, especially the team that has struggled so mightily against Pittsburgh, take a 17-point lead? But if you've been watching the Steelers, it really should not have been a surprise. This team looks done. And maybe it's beyond them needing a bye, which they're not going to get, because they didn't get a chance to have a bye and their schedule's all messed up. And so I'd be a little hesitant to say that Roethlisberger is done, the Steelers are over. I mean, when everything was clicking, they won their first 11 games, albeit not impressively, but they still won 11 straight games. We can't ignore that. But we also can't ignore the fact they've lost three straight, and Roethlisberger looks like a mess. And he's got a huge cap hit next year. He says he's coming back, but they've got some major decisions to make. So that door is wide open for Cleveland to win that division now. because Cleveland, the way they're playing, may not lose another game. Certainly, I wouldn't think the Jets are going to win two in a row. So I would think Cleveland would win this week and really put the pressure on possibly stealing this division away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I don't think the Steelers are going to be anybody but a one and done. And good job out of Cincinnati, really playing well. Nothing to play for, but still bringing it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that and some of my ideas that I have for correcting that Jet situation and maybe a different way we can handle the draft in the NFL and the other sports, kind of an anti-tanking idea that I have. We mentioned Noah Syndergaard in the soft open, $9.7 million, avoids salary arbitration, becomes a free agent at the end of the year, but that would have been a problem under the Wilpons, certainly not a problem under Steve Cohen. Hockey is going to begin on January 13th, but there's some things we've got to address with that as far as trying to get Canada on board and all that. So we'll talk to Emily Kaplan coming up at 4 o'clock, Keyshawn Johnson at 5:30, Bernard King at 4:30. So we got a really busy show. We're only on Yes until 6 because they're diving right into an hour Nets coverage with Ryan Rucco and Sarah Kustak. So you're going to want to definitely watch that on Yes. Gordon Damer on the radio side is going to fill in for Peter Rosenberg on ENN. All right. But the place to start is the NBA season beginning tonight. And there's a lot to dissect with this. You know, 9 months we've been at home with the K Show. 9 months that the pandemic has wreaked havoc on this country. And I think with the exception of the 4 months we didn't have any sports, we've been pretty blessed with having a lot of things to kind of distract us. They were able to finish the NBA and NHL seasons in the bubble a few months ago, and now, you know, the NBA season will start their second season under pandemic conditions, playing at home, playing in front of no crowds for the most part, and the Nets begin what should be a very interesting journey tonight against the Golden State Warriors, as they now are a super team. KD, Kyrie playing together on a team that was already a really tough out, already a playoff team, and the sky's the limit. And there's a couple of things that we need to discuss, and I want to hear from you, 1-800-919-3776. How long will it take this team to gel? It's only a 72-game schedule, so 10 less than usual. And I go back to the super team of the Miami Heat when LeBron signed there in the 2010-2011 season. They were 8-7 in their first 15 games and actually were the 2 seed and only won 58 games. As great as that team was, and they lost in the final to Dallas, taking time to gel affected them getting the 1 seed and affected them having like this monster season. So with 10 less games, so that kind of puts a burden on the 72 that you play. If you're going to play maybe 15, 20 games at 500 basketball because you're trying to get to gel with new players and a new coach, really an entirely new coaching staff, could that cost you a high seed in a very competitive conference? You know, what if Philadelphia lands Harden? Milwaukee, in many people's eyes, is still the team to beat. Boston is a team that went to the conference final last year. Miami's a team that went to the final last year. So if this team takes time to gel, could that cost them some home court advantage deep into the playoffs, with even without fans? Is still, I think, a very important aspect in the NBA, getting to play in your own building. And we'll see as the season wears on, does a quarter of the fans come in? Will it be half filled? I mean, we don't know. I mean, for all we know, they're going to be playing in a bubble when we get to the playoffs because we're knee deep in the second wave here. Who knows when this is all going to be over? But, you know, the feeling is as we get deeper and deeper into 2021, the vaccine starts kicking in and that we'll be able to start to get some fans in the building. And if you do that, well, then that's you're going to want home court. And is this team going to have to play an important game 7 deep in the playoffs on the road because it took them a while to gel? That's number one. Number two, KD and his Achilles. Because he looks amazing in the preseason. He looks like somebody that's going to be ready to go out there and play. And he was cautious. Many thought that he could have played in the bubble, didn't. And, you know, he's also somebody that had COVID-19. So how long does it take KD to go out there and play major minutes for this team? Is he going to be able to jump right out there, play every game, go out there and play 40 minutes? high-energy stuff. I mean, preseason's one thing, right? Messing around in practice is one thing. But to go out there and play NBA basketball with all eyes upon you, is he going to be full 100% KD? So that's what interests me. And that's why I think usually when you start, you know, a basketball season, you're excited because it's the start of the season and all. But these games really don't mean all that much. But I think for the Nets, they do. Because there's only 72 of them. The chemistry, KD, Kyrie, you know, what wacky thing is he going to be doing? This is going to be such an interesting team to watch. But for the Brooklyn Net fan, forget interesting. Forget soap opera. They want this team to win a championship. Something the Nets have never done before. All right? And I know the Nets fan base isn't as big as the Knicks, but they deserve their due. And I know a lot of people in New Jersey that still follow the Nets because of how committed they were to the Nets when they were here. And Brooklyn's not that far away. And they're still on the Yes Network, and they're still a local team that has never won a championship in the NBA. Went to a couple of finals back-to-back years, losing to the Lakers and to the Spurs. That's the closest they came with the Van Horns and the Kittles and the Jason Kidd and all that. And now they've got a chance to compete for a title, and that's what they're looking for. All right, they don't care about soap opera. They don't care about entertaining the fans. They care about winning a championship, something they have never done before. And that's what I think is interesting, is that from a local standpoint, it's about winning the championship. From a national standpoint, it's going to be the entertainment of Kyrie, the entertainment of KD. A lot of Net fans just want to see this team win. And I'm kind of interested to see how New York reacts to the Nets, because I've always been a believer that it's still a Knicks town, and there's still way more Knicks fans than Net fans. But when you talk about basketball and you talk about transcendent stars on a team, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to jump on that bandwagon. And if the Knicks get off to a slow start, yeah, people will still be Knicks fans, but they'll be keeping an eye on the Yes Network. They'll be keeping an eye on what's happening there in Brooklyn and seeing what they're doing. So I think they're going to be – are they going to be the talk of the town? No, but they're going to be a conversation that normally they're not. And I've always been a believer, too, that the move to Brooklyn to me was a lateral move. I mean, attendance really didn't tick up that much. They didn't become that much of an attention grabber. They had their fans in New Jersey. They have their fans in Brooklyn. But it really did not, I think, uptick the way people thought it would. When I would have those conversations with Alan Hahn when they first moved to Brooklyn, plant your flag, are you a Net fan or a Knicks fan? Never really transpired. But now, with a super team and a team that can legitimately compete for a championship and do so with one of the biggest players in the game, you know, because when the Nets went to those finals, the NBA was in a different place in the early 2000s. They didn't have a Shaq. They didn't have a Kobe. All right, they didn't have a Jordan. Their best player was Jason Kidd. You know, and now they've got their best players, KD, who's one of the five best players in this sport. And that's going to garner a lot of attention. A guy that was a spotlight in Oklahoma City. He was a spotlight in Golden State. And now he's going to have the spotlight in Brooklyn. It's going to be fun. And get a rivalry going, too. I want Knicks fans to pay attention to the Nets because they hate the Nets. That's good, too. But it's been never that this team has been a topic of conversation. Because in the infancy of this radio station was when the Nets were good. And I was doing live broadcasts at the Meadowlands, and I was going to all those playoff games with the Nets playing the Pacers and the Nets playing the Pistons and of course, in the finals against the Spurs and the Lakers. And it didn't really get much movement other than the hardcore fans. I mean, think of where the NBA's come. I think it was the Spurs. I guess it was Game 3. Do you remember during the NBA Finals where at halftime they would have like a big-name artist play at halftime? I remember one of the artists, and this is no offense to her, she was a superstar at the time, was Jewel. All right, so that's where the NBA has come. That's where the Nets have come from, where they're not a ripple anymore. They're a major topic of conversation, from people hating on them for being a super team and still being a Knicks fan, to a lot of Net fans getting excited about this team. Brooklyn's got a lot of chic cachet-ness to it, and the dumpster fire it could become if it doesn't work out. And the specter of where Harden's going to end up. Does he end up with Brooklyn? Does he end up with Philadelphia? Where does he go, and where does that kind of move the needle as far as the Eastern Conference is concerned? Because how often have we talked about the NBA's problem, that it's always the Cavs and the Warriors. We kind of know who's going to be in the final. Think of the East and how wide open it is. Is it the Bucks? Is it the Nets? Is it the Celtics? Who thought the Heat would come out of the East last year? Where's Philadelphia stand if they're able to land a Harden? You know, and then you go out West. Is it the Lakers automatically the team that's gonna take it, or are they going to be challenged by somebody out West? So it's going to be fun to just get another sport into the mix here during this pandemic, stuck at home, and get back to some normalcy. Also, we talk about the pandemic. How are they going to navigate through this season? Because if you look at what happened in baseball, when the pandemic was not raging the way it is now, when it was an outdoor sport as opposed to an indoor sport, how many games were postponed and not played in the shortened baseball season? What's going to happen in the NBA? Are we going to be talking about a Knicks game and a Nets game coming up that's automatically going to be postponed, moved around? Are we going to see teams play three consecutive nights to kind of wedge in all the games? Are we going to have conversations late in the season about a team making the playoffs because of percentage points, because they didn't play as many games as everybody else? Look what's happening in college football. Look how the pandemic wreaked havoc on what's happening with their schedule. Now we're talking about the pandemic seemingly getting worse every single day, playing inside, all right, traveling across the country. See, that the baseball didn't have to worry about that. They're going to be traveling around the country. So I would suspect there's going to be many days where games are going to be postponed, games are going to be moved, like we've seen in the NFL. Now, you can maneuver much better than you can with football. But look at baseball. The Cardinals played way less games than everybody else. They had the luxury of doubleheaders. The NBA's not going to have that. So I'm kind of interested to see how that works out. And hopefully everybody stays safe and nobody gets sick. But get ready for that. Somebody testing positive, somebody that was near somebody that's positive. And that's going to change everything too, as far as who finishes in first place, right? Because we could be talking about the Nets, and God forbid if somebody contracts COVID-19 and can't play for like 2 weeks, that could change your season. So being safe is going to be very, very important, because you don't want to have a bunch of games postponed or have to play without your best player for a length of time. Trevor Lawrence missed 2 games with Clemson. That was 2 weeks he was affected by COVID-19. You get affected by COVID-19 in 2 weeks in the NBA, you know, you just said goodbye to like a half a dozen games, a dozen games possibly, of your schedule that doesn't get played with your best player because he gets COVID-19. So a lot of things to get into with the NBA. So let's hear from you at 1-800-919-3776. Let's climb aboard with the phone calls, and let's talk to Chris in Bethpage. You get us started here on the Michael Kay Show. What's up, man?
Hey, Don. I heard you talking about you had a remedy coming up. I don't want to spoil anything, but I've been kicking something around on the airwaves for a couple of years now. I was just wondering if you want to take a listen to it on how to stop the, tanking.
Go ahead.
All right. There's 32 teams in pro football. You break them up into eight quadrants of four teams. So the last four teams are, you know, the Jets, Jacksonville, let's say Atlanta, and whoever. So you just break them in, and they have their own individual. You do the balls like you do in the NBA. 40% goes to the worst team, then 30, 20, and 10. And you just do it in quadrants. So if you finish dead last, chances you still have to go through this mini lottery, basically. So then you do 1 through 4, then you go 5 through 8. So you're all in your own quadrant. And the point is if you tank, if you're Jacksonville, chances are you could finish with either the fourth pick or the first pick. And that way, teams aren't going to know what specific pick they're going to get. So they'll play their best at all times.
I don't think there's any question, Chris, the NFL needs to institute a lottery. I mean, that's number one for sure. And that's an interesting idea, and it's not the idea that I was going to have. But here's the thing. Tanking's an issue in the NBA. Tanking's an issue in Major League Baseball. It doesn't seem to be an issue in the NFL. I want to try to rectify a team having a fan base rooting against them. So I don't want to reward the worst team in the league with the best pick. That's a little hint for what we're going to talk about later. But when you saw what Cincinnati did last night, when you saw what the Jets did against the Rams on Sunday, tanking's not a problem in the NFL. So I don't think you really have to necessarily worry about how to fix tanking in football, because it doesn't seem like it's really a problem. These teams, they certainly come to play. Griffin in Connecticut, you're on ESPN New York. What's up, Griff?
Hey, Don, how are you?
Where have you been? Everything all right?
I've been here. I've been trying to get on, but I couldn't get on. It's been busy.
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing. Before I get to my point, there's something that I think I was hearing on Get Up earlier this morning that you should put on the poll. Jalen Rose is saying that Net fans, would be happy even if they go to the second round or the conference finals. You should put on the poll. What do Net fans will be happy with? A champion going to the finals, going to the second round, or the conference finals?
Well, we could maybe run that up the poll, Griffin, and thanks for the phone call. I can't imagine a Net fan to be satisfied with a second round appearance. Lose to the Bucks in 7 games in the conference final, I guess you could hold your head up high. Losing in the second round, no. Now, listen, it's only one season. You don't want to get crazy. It's not like you have to win the championship this year. You've got, I think, a 3-year window with KD and his contract and him being at the best he could possibly be. But I can't imagine a Net fan would be devastated if they lost in the conference final. But first, second round, I think they'd flip out, and rightly so. I mean, you didn't do this for your first year to be out in the second round. I mean, you got to make it to at least the conference final. But if they were lose to the, if they got swept by the Bucks, maybe that's a different story. But if you have a hard fought series and the Bucks just turned out to be better than you, I think you can live with that. But it's hard to say now. You need to see how it plays itself out.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's get back to the phones, and let's talk to Colm in the Bronx. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, man?
Don, how are you doing?
Good.
Really quick, I wanted to get into the Knicks if you had the time. I don't know how deep you... I don't know how deep you are into the Knicks and seeing how crazy their Twitter universe is and how maniacally insane they are.
Well aware.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the things that came out of Knicks Twitter during the little quick preseason that they had was the emergence of Emmanuel Quigley.
Yes.
And how well he played in those final two games and how well the offense looked.
Especially that one game against Cleveland in the second half, right? He had that monster game against Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that second half, it was like he was like plus 20 in one quarter. What I was going to say is people are saying like, oh, you need to start him immediately or anything like that. I don't think that's that outlandish, though, because guys like Alec Burks, the Alfred Payton, Austin Rivers, these guys have already played in the NBA 5, 6, 7 years. They're already developed. None of these people that are playing, that are veterans on this team, are going to all of a sudden average 18-6
right,
and are all of a sudden not going to be out of the role-playing situation that they are. We actually have a chance with these guys like OB Toppin and everything like that. They can develop. I believe that the Knicks have a very good coach, unlike they've had in the last couple of years, that has the ability to look at a young team, have them play, maybe they have a bad night, and he can go in and correct them and have them play better in the future. I think it's not tanking for the Knicks this year, but I think this is a year where you need to maximize playing young players.
I completely agree. Yeah, it's not a tanking situation, but you're right. What's the pressure? I think they want to make the playoffs, but not getting Westbrook. Like, if they had gotten Westbrook, Colm, and thank you for the phone call, there probably would be a feeling of, let's try to get as many wins as we can, sneak into the playoffs, gain some experience. That didn't happen. And you've got a coach in Thibodeau that should be able to mature young players, and I think the way to do that is to play. I mean, Quickly came from a big-time program, had a great preseason. Take advantage of that, right? What are the pitfalls of him playing? I mean, developing bad habits, maybe having to deal with failure in front of a lot of people. The building's going to be empty. And I think the Knicks fans accept where they are right now. One of the benefits, I guess, of not getting a Westbrook is that the expectations are low. I think Knicks fans understand this is not a playoff team. And they're going to hunker down and watch a bunch of young guys play. And they're going to want to see the 2 first-round picks. They're going to want to see Barrett from last year go out there and start playing. And whatever happens, happens, right? Because there's not going to be the day-in, day-out pressure of winning and losing. Now, there'll be the pressure to play well, But it's not going to be that pressure of we've got to get into the playoffs. We've got to end that streak. By not getting a Westbrook, by not getting a veteran player, then now the expectations can be, let's just see this young team grow. And Leon Rose shouldn't be a slave to what happened prior to him getting here, right? Where we've got to, when you had Steve Mills, it was like he had hanging like an albatross around his neck all the years of failure while he was with the team. You know, this is a new regime led in a different direction with a brand new coach. Now, that marriage or that honeymoon's going to end pretty quick. But at least for this year and a shortened season, with the Knicks fans just happy to see basketball back, do you realize this team has not played a meaningful game? This team has not played an actual regular season game since March 11th. When they take the court tomorrow on December 23rd, it's going to be the first regular season game this team's played since March 11th. I know they played some preseason games, but this is going to be the first time Knicks fans are actually going to see a game that means something in over 9 months. I think Knicks fans are just going to be happy with that and see if these kids can go out there and play. Bob in Westbury, you're on ESPN New York. What's up, Bob?
Don, how are you?
Good.
Listen, this was something that's bothered me for a while here. I just got a call up, and I don't know who this message needs to go to, whether it's Michael, whether it's the producers, but, you know, you are a man that has been doing this for an extremely long time. You are the voice of the people. I don't know if you know that, but, I mean, anybody that has any common sense and can think about things logically, I mean, your points are right on about 95% of the time. And I don't mean to disrespect Michael or Peter. Peter's been a great addition to the show. But I got to know, what is the holdup from this show being named at least at minimum Kay and LaGreca? Minimum. It should really be LaGreca and Kay. I got to know what the reason behind this. I don't know if Michael listens when he's not there, but I got to know what that's about.
Well, I don't know. We have fun with it on the show, Bob, and I appreciate that you enjoy my work. And it is odd that every show in the country puts the name of the hosts on the show. I mean, even our morning show, Zubin's name ends up on the show with Keyshawn, right? With Jay Will, they put his name on the show. Bart and Han, both hosts, both names on the show. DCR, all three hosts, name on the show. I doubt very seriously when Gordon moves to nights, it's going to be the Larry Hardesty show featuring Gordon Damer.
Don.
It's probably going to be Larry and Gordon or Hardesty and Damer, whatever they decide to call it. They don't do it here. So what are you going to do? I complain about it, but you know, it's silly. I get paid. Everybody knows that I'm on the show. But the one thing I will never accept is a with and featuring. But it's the Michael Kay Show. It's worked for us going on 20 years. Is it Michael's fault? Is it management's fault? Who knows? But it's not changing. But I do appreciate you getting me on board with that. Does it bother me? I guess the fact that I talk about it so much, maybe it does a little bit. Omar in Brooklyn. How much fun is it to talk to Omar on the eve of the Knicks starting their season? What's up?
Oh, my God, Don. Let me tell you, I thought the game is tonight. I'm so excited. I knew the game was tomorrow.
So let me just paint the picture because once you start rolling, I'm not going to have much to say. So let me get started here. Here is Omar. He's going to see his team play basketball tomorrow, literally for the first time in meaningful action in 9 months. He roots for a football team that's a fraction of an inch from their first divisional title in 25 years. Omar, the floor is yours.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Okay. first thing, like, you know why I got goosebumps? After Friday, we talked last Thursday, and then Friday night happened with the Knicks blowing out of Cleveland the way they blow out, right? And everybody's excited. I tell you. And after that, the first thing I come to, why I like Tom Thibodeau, I love him so much that this is the coach that I really wanted. And McDermott, when the first time he came in, I used to listen to the Pat Riley press conference, and that makes me into these press conferences. And I went to CBS to go, because Pat Riley, the way Pat Riley used to do press conferences after a terrible loss to Chicago Bulls, I used to cry on those press conferences, right? So, that makes me into this world of sports talk and everything. Before, I was just a sports fan, but that comes to me in the media. But my point is that Tom Thibodeau, when after that Friday night happened with the Cleveland, and they blow out and everything worked together to the positive, it comes to my mind. And from that 5 days, I'm so pumped up. You know why? Even Saturday night was a relaxing night. Like for Buffalo Bills, I'm enjoying it. And I'm watching my Wednesday and Thursday comes in when the next season will start. Because remember when Pat Riley used to go, the season used to be over, and then we have a 5-day break for the playoff. The playoff starts on the weekend, and the regular season used to end on Sundays and Mondays, and you have 5-day break. And Pat Riley and Van Gundy used to go on a 4-day mini camp, and then they used to come out first round, Charlotte Hornets, Atlanta Hawks, whatever it is, and they usually first game, they used to blow out first quarter, second quarter. They are so charged up, and they used to blow up those opponents. Tom Thibodeau is that kind. And they have 5 days of break after Friday, and they have 3 hours of practices every day. I can see tomorrow. I don't know if it can add up to the whole game tomorrow night, but when the Knicks come tomorrow night, first two quarters, you will see they will be pumped up. There will be nobody making up that intensity tomorrow. Tom Thibodeau has this team ready. Knicks fan will be like they were Friday night. Oh, my son was, what is happening to the Knicks? Are they really? It looks like a regular season, I'm telling you. I'm so pumped up for the first quarter tomorrow night. I know it's going to happen. I know they're going to. First quarter is going to be out of this mind. I can go drain if it doesn't happen, but I know for sure this coach, that passion that they will have tomorrow night in the first quarter, yeah, and second quarter, nobody will match it up.
And you know what, Omar? And I'm not sure how I feel about Happy Omar, and thank you for the phone call. Angry Omar, I think, is a little bit more entertaining, but Happy Omar is good too. It's nice to see that he's happy, but he makes a bunch of great points. They're playing Indiana. I don't know what the spread is, but I probably would pick the Knicks because I do think there's going to be an energy in that building. But they're well coached, okay? And that's nothing against Hornacek. That's nothing against anybody they've had since then. This is a well-coached team. This is a legit coach in the NBA, all right? This isn't somebody that was brought here to try to attract free agents. This isn't somebody brought here that was supposed to institute the triangle. This is an actual legitimate NBA coach. Whatever Nick problems they have, and I'm sure they're going to be because they're not an exceptionally talented team, is not going to be from coaching. They're not going to get out-coached. There's going to be a plan. There's going to be a way that they play, and that's what you got to like about this team, because Tom Thibodeau was a tremendous hire. I like the direction this team's going. It may not be as quick as you want it to be. It may not lead to a championship right away, but I like what Leon Rose is doing. I wish we could talk to him, but we don't. But this is going to be a legitimately coached team, and he is going to get the most out of those players. And this is what you hope for if you're the Knicks right now, is that he can do what was done with the Nets a couple of years ago, get this team to overachieve. And I know salary cap is air, and I'm not going to tease you guys with maybe they can win a free agent or two, but if you want to change the culture, if you want to change the image of this team, get this team to overachieve. When was the last time the Knicks overachieved? When was the last time you looked at a Knicks team and you said, this team is playing better than they should play? It's been a while. You know why? Because they haven't had a great coach. Because that's what great coaches do. They get more out of the team than they're supposed to. And then you change the culture. And then you become a team that people want to play for.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
We had a long conversation, the two of us, you being the audience and me, about, you know, rooting for your teams to win. And I've gotten beaten up by, like, everybody at this radio station. Carlin's killing me. Rosenberg's killing me. Rothenberg's killing me. I'm getting destroyed by Canty and DiPietro. Hey, that's just my opinion. And I've gotten beat up on Twitter by it. I don't root for my teams to lose. I just don't.
Here's the issue.
Let it all play itself out. Okay? That was my opinion. But I've been thinking about this a lot. From a tanking perspective and also being put in that awkward position as a fan to root against your team, which I know it killed Jet fans to do. And I don't know if other people have had this idea, but I've been sitting on it for a while. I've thrown it out a couple of times on the air. Didn't gain much traction, but I'm doing the show myself, and I wanted to take some phone calls on it and get your thoughts. And this obviously does not work for all the sports. But I think it's something that needs to be addressed. I think, first and foremost, the NFL has to go to a lottery system. I think to just hand a player like Trevor Lawrence to a team that goes 1-15, and then there's another team that goes 1-15, and it's a tiebreaker and all that garbage, even though they don't tank in the NFL, they don't. I mean, the Jets obviously have played hard. You watch Jacksonville's games, they're in it. They're in most of the games that they play. They're just not very talented. Don't have a quarterback. You know, you saw Cincinnati last night. They came to play. They didn't care about, you know, tanking to get a pick. It's not an issue. But I do think that having fans root for a team to lose, that's counterintuitive. It's not something that a league should want to see happen. The idea in sports is to win, to play as hard as you can to win. And I think the tanking in the NBA is a joke. And, you know, if you're a person of a certain age like me, you remember the Penguins tanking to get Mario Lemieux. And it worked. They got him, and you know, Mario Lemieux saved the franchise. They're probably not the Pittsburgh Penguins right now. They're probably, you know, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, if it's not for Mario Lemieux. And there's times it doesn't work, like what's happening with the Philadelphia 76ers. So I thought about this. What if you came up with a system where the best team to not make the playoffs is the team with the most ping pong balls? Like, I'm not going to give the team that just missed the playoffs the first overall pick, but I think you reward teams for playing hard. The team that just misses the playoffs, that team's got the most ping pong balls and the best odds to get the pick. And then the team that's 0-16, 1-15, the joke franchise, well, they get the least amount. And it's for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, it keeps teams motivated to win. So in baseball, where we've seen tanking, and hockey, you know what? You're gonna make trades at the deadline because you want to win. So even though you're out of it and you got no chance of making the playoffs, but you want to finish with the best record you could possibly finish with to get more of a chance to get the first overall pick, you might make a trade to make your team better. And that might engage fans to want to watch, not a team that's going through the motions and hoping to lose, that you're hoping to win. You're rooting for them to win. You're rewarding a team trying to go out there and be the best possible team they can be. That's what it's about. Now, the problem in the NBA, what my theory is that there still may be teams who say, I don't want to make the playoffs because even if as an 8 seed, I got no shot, so I might tank just to get into the lottery. That is a possibility, but it still would be less tanking than there is now. But in the NHL, 8 seeds have won the cup. The Los Angeles Kings in 2012 were an 8 seed, won the cup. Devils, when they won the cup in 95, were a 6 seed. Football, we've seen wild card teams win the Super Bowl before. Baseball, we've seen wild card teams win the World Series. So in those sports, you will still take the playoffs rather than be a part of the lottery because playoffs are a guarantee. You can make something happen with that. In the lottery, it's still a crapshoot because you could still lose the lottery even if you've got the best chance to get the first overall pick. I want to reward teams for winning. Like what the Astros did tanking, not going to work because you're going to want to win games because your chance of getting the first overall pick will be slimmer the worse you are. And also, let's face it, especially in football, guys, the teams that end up with the first overall pick most times are just poorly run franchises that will screw the pickup anyway. You know, the Detroits of the world, the Clevelands of the world, the Browns have finally gotten it right. But for years, they'd end up with the first overall pick and not do anything with it. Because if you're going to be that bad that you're guaranteed the first overall pick, if you're going to be 1-15, 2-14, you're poorly run. Why should you be rewarded for being that poor at what you do? There's a reason why, you know, great run franchises like Pittsburgh, like New England, don't finish 1-15 with Bill Belichick, or don't finish 1-15 when you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they're too well run a franchise. There's a reason why Green Bay doesn't go 1-15. They're too well run. So why am I handing you this amazing talent just to have him go play and die on a vine in an organization that can't figure it out anyway? So let's go out there and award a team that goes out and plays well and just maybe just had a tough year because of injuries, or just ran into a guy's getting old at the same time, but they still make transactions, make trades, do everything possible. There's a reason the San Antonio Spurs are good every single year, because they're well run. So they're not in that position they were, ironically enough, when they were able to get Tim Duncan and were the worst team in basketball. Like I said, basketball, it's a little dicey, my idea. I understand that, because there'll be that 9 seed that say, I'd rather be the 9 seed and be in the lottery than be the 8 seed and get clubbed to death by the Milwaukee Bucks in 4 straight. But in hockey, baseball, and football, it works, because teams can make runs. I saw the 9-7 Giants win a Super Bowl. We see wild card teams do that. Got to be in it to win it. What were Giant fans saying after a win against Seattle? Hey, maybe this will be 2011 all over again. We'll go on a run. We'll sneak in. We'll surprise some people at 8-8, and we'll actually make a run and go to the Super Bowl. So that's a team that's not going to pass up a chance to go to the playoffs just to be in a lottery for a Trevor Lawrence or whoever the best player is out there. I'd like to see something like that happen. I'd like to see a draft where the best team gets a chance at the best player. Is it a bad idea? Is it a good idea? I don't know. I just think that I think it's just a travesty that Jet fans are in a position where they're rooting for their team to lose. Wouldn't they be in a situation where I want my team to win? Because you know what? I bet you Cincinnati Bengal fans were pretty proud of what they did last night. They hurt the Steelers' chances of winning the division, a rival. Go out there on national television and play to the best of your ability and be proud that your team won and benefit from the fact that they decided to come and play. Now, it's not a tanking issue in football, because clearly teams don't tank in the NFL, but it's still a travesty that a fan base, and a good fan base like the Jet fan, is forced to root against their team and feel bad when their team comes up with a great effort.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
You can follow me at Don LaGreca on my idea. And I got an interesting one from somebody, because I was saying that just the way the draft lottery by wins, not losses. So if you're a team that barely misses the playoffs, like in that year when New England went 11-5, you know, they missed the playoffs, well, they would have a higher chance of winning the lottery because they played well and reward winning instead of losing. And I got a tweet. I want to be able to find it here. Oh, no. I just lost it. I hate working with my phone, but I've got so many things here. Oh, okay. Mac says, oh, my God, Don, just stop. Lottery picks for NFL? No. NFL is nothing without fans. So now you want a losing franchise that is poorly run to potentially get a late-round pick? What hope would fans have then? Well, don't blame the system. Blame the team you root for. Because why mismanagement? Why should I reward the franchise that is mismanaged and poorly run? Why do I have to prop up that franchise by giving him a great player and giving them a reward for not knowing what they're doing? Why? I give the Edmonton Oilers a perfect example. The Edmonton Oilers were poorly run for a long time, and they kept winning the draft lottery. 4 times they had the first overall pick. I called a Ranger-Oiler game not long ago where they had a line of Nails Yakupov, Taylor Hall, Connor McDavid. All 3 of them were the first overall pick in the draft. And you know what? Didn't make the playoffs.
If you followed hockey,
You know, so why do I continue to give the team that doesn't know what they're doing all these great players?
Why?
And meanwhile, the team that's good at what they do but maybe just don't get the breaks, well, they never get a chance to get the forever player. So if the fans are upset, well, you know what? Then blame your management for being as poorly run as they're run. I'm not telling you to give up on the team. I get it. But why? Because you might have a clueless general manager, not know what you're doing, owner's a joke. And, oh, by doing that, then the forever player, the Connor McDavid, the Trevor Lawrence, the LeBron James gets to go to you. So you don't see the problem there? And, you know, fans have the chance to say something about it by, like stop going to the games or doing something. You know, everybody says, well, you can't do anything. I'm not telling you to stop following your team, but you continue to put money in the pockets of those fans. You know, how many times I get calls from Jet fans in the postgame show when I was doing Jets postgame? I'm done with this team. I'm not going anymore. I'm not going to renew my season tickets. And then you renew the season tickets and continue to put money in the Johnson's pocket, and then the incompetence continues to happen year after year after year. So I do feel bad for the fans that root for teams that are going nowhere.
It's a joke!
So by you being clueless, what other walk of life would a clueless person be handed gifts to try to get better? So then it just becomes like welfare for sports, right? Like the dumb welfare of you're dumb, so I'm going to continue to give you great players. And if I'm the league, do I want these great players to play for organizations that are run poorly? So these great players, instead of playing in the Super Bowl, get stuck on a team where they don't get any better. Like Andrew Luck ends up in Indianapolis, they're run poorly. They never give him a great offensive line, never give him weapons, and you know he never goes to a Super Bowl. How many bad seasons did they end up having in Indianapolis and then force the kid out of the league because he was just so beat up and done with football? Meanwhile, if he was drafted by a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, would probably play 20 years and win 3 Super Bowls. And then I got somebody else on Twitter saying, well, it's not like the Green Bay Packers run well. They've got Aaron Rodgers. Oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers wasn't taken first overall. They didn't need the welfare to go out and become a great team again. They were shrewd enough to be able to pick him with the 24th overall pick while they had Brett Favre and make it work that when Favre left, they were able to put another great quarterback in there. That was my overall point about everybody wanting the first overall pick. But yet these well-run franchises are able to find gems that aren't the first overall pick. Golden State was able to build a dynasty even before KD got there with a player that was taken 7th overall. The Milwaukee Bucks are looked upon as a favorite in the Eastern Conference because they got Giannis, who was taken 15th overall. So it doesn't have to be the first overall pick all the time. Because if you're well-run, but then the poor run teams get the best players? What, to just screw it up anyway? Were the Detroit Lions helped by going 0-16? They were able to get a great quarterback in Matthew Stafford, have done nothing really to help him, so Matthew Stafford ends up being this probably a Hall of Fame quarterback in another organization, and he gets forgotten about because they're on a team that isn't run well. So I've got to come up with way. I don't know what to tell you. You know, do what they did. The Giants were in that situation. You know what the league did? Instead of handing them the first overall pick, Pete Rozelle said, "Hey, Wellington, hire George Young, and then he'll get your franchise out of where they're burning tickets and flying planes over the stadium. Hire George Young, and then we'll turn it around. You want to help some of these franchises out? Knock on their door and say, hire somebody." You want to help the Jets out, maybe recommend who their next head coach should be, because whoever's making the decision isn't doing a good job. So, and in baseball, it'd be great. Instead of these teams selling off talent and basically giving you no reason to watch the final month of the season because they traded all the good players away, maybe they'll hold on to the players and make trades to try to be better, to win more games, to maybe be able to get the better pick.
Fix that!
And oh, by the way, even the crapshoot of the baseball draft, it's Derek Jeter who's taken 6th overall, or Mike Piazza that was basically Mr. Irrelevant in the baseball draft. Well-run organizations are going to figure it out. Why should the poor organizations get the gift? Why do they get the shiny new bike at the bottom of the tree? Imagine if I did that with my twins, right? The good kid, you know, gets a book. The bad kid gets the brand new Xbox because I figure, well, if I give him the Xbox, maybe he won't be a bad kid anymore. So instead of giving him coal, I'm gonna have the bad kid get the Xbox and the smart kid gets the book. The smart kid, because you get the Xbox, the bad kid should get the coal. 1-800-919-3776. Back to your phone calls. Keyshawn Johnson will join us in the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Rob in Massachusetts. You're on ESPN New York.
Yeah, Don, I've been a Jets fan since 65. I can't root against the Jets. I don't care about no number one draft pick who might or might not pan out. We have a good quarterback. We need cornerbacks, offensive linemen. Why waste it on a quarterback who might or might not pan out? I was thrilled with that win the other day. We should have beaten the Raiders. We should have beaten the Patriots. Hopefully we beat the Patriots in 2 weeks. Sam is a good quarterback. Don't you agree?
Well, listen, I think he is. I think he's been damaged by poor coaching. And if they had a good coach, Rob, they probably beat the Patriots. They probably beat the Raiders. They probably beat the Broncos. This might be a 6 or 7 win team. You know, so I don't think they have a ton of talent, Rob. Don't get me wrong. And listen, you'd love to have Trevor Lawrence because he looks like he's a forever player. I'm just saying that he doesn't fix everything because you still need the coach. And if you had a coach with this ragamuffin bunch, you might have 5 or 6 wins. So imagine what a good coach could do.
We need some cornerbacks, Don. Some guys who could cover.
Well, the quarterbacks.
Well, you need that. You
quarterbacks.
Need, yeah, you. Well, listen. You need they've been missing that since Darrell Revis, right? And they also need some weapons too. I think Mims is a player, but I think they need to add. They need a lot of stuff to add, man. Even this defense. You know, like you said, the secondary. They've got to figure out that. You know, safety position. What's going to happen with Marcus May? So they've got a lot of decisions to make, too. So don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you don't want Trevor Lawrence. I believe me, if the Jets have the first overall pick, you're drafting Trevor Lawrence, okay? Please, do not confuse. I'm not going to sit here and tell you. Not one time did I say in all of my monologue yesterday, in all the conversation I had yesterday, that I say that I don't want Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying that I'm not bagging the season to make it happen. I want to enjoy, if I'm a Jet fan, a great win. And not have to sit there and call it the worst day in the history of the franchise when you might have a quarterback that could be fixable with the right coach. Let's go to Joe in Syracuse. You're on ESPN New York. How cold is it in Syracuse, I wondered a lot.
Don, thank you for taking my call. As a Bills fan, I just want you to know I've never jumped through a table. So
good. And then you never bathed with pork and beans or anything like that?
No, okay. I've never done that.
All right.
But listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Looking at the Bills in the mid-2000s, how awful they were, and, you know, my son is now 17. He's a big Bills fan. I kind of brainwashed him into that because through all those losing seasons. But never once did I root against the Bills. I look at the Jets, and I look back to week one when the Bills played the Jets.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I really tried to be objective. And I looked at the Jets and I thought, these are the Bills of the mid-2000s. They're awful. And it's not just the team, if I draw a parallel to the Buffalo Bills, it's so organizational. There are so many things that need to change. And I was stunned. I mean, it was like almost a wake-up call. I'm like, holy cow, the Jets are the Bills of the mid-2000s. And that's where they really need to look at, you know, obviously the coach. But and you've endorsed Douglas, correct?
Yes. So far,
yeah,
so good.
I mean,
I need to see more. But, you know, so I think he's a good general manager.
Right. But it's going to take so much to get them out of this hole. And rooting against them is not going to do it. And I agree with your philosophy of rewarding the teams that work hard and win. Look, you and I go play in a pickup basketball game. We've got that fire to win the game, right? Even at the age we are, I'm 50 years old, so I'm around your age. If we could play a pickup basketball game, I'm not going to just let you win. We're competitive. We want to win. And you can't tell me that NFL players of that skill level and it's their livelihood that they're going out and tanking. They're going out and they're not.
Well, that's why it doesn't happen in the NFL, right? I mean, that's the and then thank you so much for the phone call. That's why it doesn't happen in the NFL, because there's no way it could fly. And tanking doesn't exist in the NFL. Everybody thought the Dolphins were tanking last year. They ended up becoming hot in the second half. And what ended up happening, they ended up getting the quarterback they wanted anyway because of injury to drop down to five. That's what I'm saying. There's so much that can happen in the draft. And Josh Allen was supposed to be the third best quarterback in that draft behind Darnold and Baker Mayfield, and he may turn out to be the best quarterback. So if you're a well-run organization, then you can make some things happen. I understand the Jets are not well-run, but that doesn't mean that has to be the case forever. And, you know, to just beg and hope that that one transitional player saves everything, that kind of works in the NBA, not so much in the NFL. Because as good as Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be, don't tell me he can't be damaged. Don't tell me that you can't get the most out of him without the right coach. And they still got to do that. So that's what you root for. You want to say, you want to talk about the most devastating day in Jets history? It's not the fact that they beat the Rams and lost out on Trevor Lawrence. It's if they hire the wrong coach again during the offseason. With this being a holiday week, our Cover 3 trivia contest will take place tomorrow. We'll give a lucky caller a chance to prove their fandom and win up to $100 in PC Richard & Son gift cards and more. Brought to you by PC Richard & Son. For appliances, TVs, electronics, and mattresses, shop in-store or online and get free delivery or curbside pickup at any location. PC Richard & Son. Shop safe, shop local. So we'll do that coming up tomorrow, Cover 3. Hopefully we'll get some Giant fans because we're running out of Jet questions, which is not good. Let's go to Joseph in the Bronx. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. First time calling in. Great surprise I got through. So, big-time Patriots fan. Surprise I'm calling. I heard you guys talking about tanking. I have a couple of friends that were talking about tanking this year. You know, we've been spoiled for the past 20 years with Brady and everything, but I think we've done the best that we can. We signed Cam. I mean, there's no one else really out there. We did the best that we could, but, like, when it comes to the tanking part, I'm just not a fan of tanking. Because I look at it like, look at all the other teams that tank. Well, I'm not going to say the Jets are tanking. I just think that they're not a good team. Sam Darnold's been tarnished by someone. I don't even know why or how he's a coach after the fiasco when he was down in Miami. I don't know how he got another opportunity, yeah. But life works in funny ways. In all honesty.
Yeah, the thing is, Joe, like I don't think you can tank in the NFL. First of all, you don't have the personnel to replace everybody with backups, all right? And their careers are so short, and these coaches put so much work into it. It doesn't happen in the NFL. Again, what happened with Cincinnati, you saw that last night. It probably benefits them to lose every game, but they came to play. That means something. A culture is built. There's only 16 games. Most of these guys are lucky to play 3-4 years in their career. Organizations are never – football – tanking is not a problem in the NFL. I just feel bad, Joe, for the Jet fan that's got to root against his team, hoping his team loses in order to get the benefit of the pick. But there is no way an NFL coach will ever work again if he designed a game plan to lose or didn't play. Nobody would want to play for that organization again. It can happen in the other sports. It has happened in the other sports. It doesn't happen in the NFL. And Bill Belichick was accused at the beginning of the year. Oh, he's probably tanking. You know, before he signed Cam Newton, he's going to go with a neophyte at quarterback. He's got all these guys that opted out because of COVID-19. He still tried to win every game. Their problem is that Cam Newton wasn't good enough. I feel bad for Cam. He just maybe the COVID hurt him or whatever. But if he played better, there were some winnable games there. A better quarterback, that team's probably finding a way to get into the playoffs. But the quarterback play was just too poor. Just was. And I hope Cam gets another opportunity under better circumstances. But right now, you're beginning to see why Carolina let him go. He's just not a good quarterback anymore. It's a shame. And like I said, he did have COVID. That might have affected him. And there were flashes early in the season. But hey, they're 6-8 because they've gotten poor play out of the quarterback.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.